program with OBE last night, and I'm on tonight from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., and I'd like to encourage every one of you to tune in and partner with us as we begin to influence and charter a new cause for this station. It's one station that tells our story as people of African origin, and it is a station we have to keep alive because it is ours. We've been disadvantaged for so many decades and years. It is our time to tell our story, and we need a vehicle to tell the true story of who we are. Amen. So it's a channel we must keep alive. We've blessed others, we've given to others. It's time to give to our own. Amen. Don't look at me with that way. I said amen.
Amen.
Well, Pastor Paul, it's good to be with you here. It's a great house. I like the atmosphere and the spirit. The worship is clean, and it's good, and I love it. So you have a great thing going on here, and I pray that God will give you your own place soon or very soon. Soon, 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 soon. I'd like to talk to you. I've been dealing with certain areas of the scriptures for a while, and one of my greatest passion for the past couple of years is to teach intercession from a different perspective of what we've known about intercession. And it's because of my own personal challenges and afflictions. I was born into a family of 43 brothers and sisters. My mother had 6 kids, and my father has 37. And my father was a grand wizard for the Freemason, and he was also some kind of a tribal chief. And that initiated him into a lot of witchcraft. And so I've come from very interesting background, and I got saved 32 years ago as a young teenager, and I had certain demonic encounters where I lost 3 of my fingers by demonic and satanic interference of my life, and I was compelled by demonic spirits, disembodied spirits, as I heard voices, to place my right hand in the flame of a candle I was commanded to light. And as I placed my hands on the flame, my lips were sealed. I couldn't speak. I couldn't open my mouth. I was in pain and in agony. And I could not resist the power of the voice that commanded me to light the candle and to place my right hands on the flame. And I could see bones coming out. And I knew that I was losing the fingers, but I couldn't resist it. And that is how wicked the enemy is. Somebody asked me about 9/11, and I said 9/11 is a clear indicator that evil is not something, evil is somebody. And it's the devil himself. He delights in killing and stealing and destroying. Some water, please. Thank you. So that is the devil's work, and because of my personal afflictions over the years that I've come to experience how the enemy works in my own personal challenges and in my search of God to get deeper answers, and not just to take the Bible at its literal meaning, but to have deep understanding of its celestial meaning. Because when the Bible says that thy word is settled in heaven forever, it's talking about the word of God as it is seen from its celestial perspective, different from what we look at the word, because the Bible we read here is a reflection of what is in heaven. And we cannot just look at it from its literal meaning. And for a couple of years now, the Lord has burdened me to go to the nations of the world and to bring to his church prayer in a new dimension, such as we've never known it before. And I'm so excited about what God is doing as we take prayer invasions to cities, to communities, and to nations, and to literally invade communities and to invade churches and cities with the power of intercession from different perspective. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit this morning. It is something that may take me a couple of days to really download it, but I'm going to see if I can just package everything and just release this baby into your spirit. Hallelujah. I'd like to talk to you about what I entitled prophetic intercession. Prophetic intercession. Prophetic intercession simply means praying by inspiration or praying by the inspiration of God or being led by the Spirit of God or being inspired. I was dealing with a situation recently back home in Ghana. I just came from Ghana and a gentleman came to see me that I've had a particular illness for over 18 years. And he's a believer. He's been in so many churches before he came to one of my satellite churches. And when he came to see me, I oversee over 300 satellite churches of Action churches and of other churches that I oversee because the bishops and sons of mine are raised in the ministry. And it's good to see so many of my sons and daughters here that I haven't seen for such a long, long time. You owe me offerings, so pay me today. Hallelujah. Paul, you got a lot of my sons and daughters here, so it's good to see those faces. It brings a lot of good memories. Now, as I began to pray for him with my prophetic team, one of the things I've been doing for the past couple of years is to raise prophetic teams and apostolic teams. The Lord said to me, he said that in the end time, two outstanding giftings and mantles and the office of the fivefold will bring in the end time harvest and the coming of the Messiah, and that is the apostolic and the prophetic. The church began by the apostolic and the prophetic gifting. It was by the foundation. The Bible says that the foundation of the church was laid by the apostles and the prophets. And I believe that in this end time, it's going to take those mantles. We've heard, we've seen great teaching ministries, and we thank God for that. We've heard about the healing waves in the early 40s, and we've seen tremendous pastors pastoring mega churches with great governmental skills and abilities and raising churches and doing great things. And I believe that in this end time, God is raising great prophetic and apostolic ministries that will literally just move cities and nations and get cities and nations to bow their knees in a day. In a day, cities will be converted. In one day, nations will bow and acknowledge that the heavens do rule in the affairs of men. But it's not just going to take the literal preaching and teaching we are used to. It's going to take something deeper. It's going to take prophetic and apostolic intervention in the history and affairs of nations, governments, and communities. And I have come to experience that in my personal life as I have influenced so many regions of the earth as we have gone in prophetically. I was in a country a couple of years and the Lord gave me a prophetic word in La Côte d'Ivoire. And I said that in 24 hours, God is giving the president a miracle. And I said exactly what God was going to do. And there was somebody there who was close to the president. And so the word went to him and I was invited. And the president asked me to be very clear about what I picked up in the spirit. And I told him exactly what God said. It was a situation between the government and the rebels. And France was behind it. There was a lot of controversy over the matter. And he said, when are you leaving town? And I said, tonight. He said, you are not. You leave tomorrow. And I said, why? He said, the prophecy must come to pass. He said, 24 hours. So stay in town. So I called all my intercessors worldwide and I said, folks, you got to fast. Nobody eats until further notice. Let's pray. And God just gave us a great miracle and that gave me a lot of influence in that country by God's grace. And few years ago, I was in Ghana and the Lord said to me, go to the Golden Tulip. And so I went down to the Golden Tulip and I had breakfast. Whilst I was leaving, I saw the former IGP of Ghana. And he said, guess who is in town? I said, who? And he said, General Obasanjo Olusegun. And I said, well, give General my love and tell him we're praying for him and we are glad that he escaped Abacha's trap to kill him prematurely. Anyway, that night I had a call from General Obasanjo and I met, we had a dinner at the Nigerian embassy in Accra. And everybody who was somebody and anybody was there. And the president of Ghana, President John Adekunle Akufo-Addo, was one of the opposition leaders of the parties of Ghana that was there. General Rawlings was then still president of Ghana. And I was asked to bless the meals and bless the gathering. And as I stood up to bless the meal, I heard a whispering from the corridors of eternity. And the Lord said, this is a very important meeting. The destinies of nations are being decided. And so I declared as I heard. And when General Obasanjo responded after the prayers, he said that what the Archbishop said was prophetic. Anyway, after that, we went to his hotel. We were praying, myself and him, and Tunde Edu. And I saw him exalted, lifted in the spirit. And I said, General, do you have any plans for politics? He said, no more. He said, 20 years ago, I was president, head of states of Nigeria. And this time, I want to stay in my village in Ota and just do my farm and live a quiet life. I said, I don't think so. And he said, what do you mean? I said, it looks like heaven has an agenda. And he said, judicial determination, and you have to comply. And I said, it looks like you're going back to power. He said, how can that be? I said, watch God. And at that time, General Abubakar was then the head of state of Nigeria. 6 months after, I was invited by Dr. Maurice Loelo to speak to 7,000 pastors from all over Africa at CPM, Ezekiel Church in Ikeja, Nigeria. I finished ministering, and everybody was there, Ayo, Orisa, Jafu, Konko, and everybody. And when I finished speaking, I was going to sit down, and the Spirit of the Lord said, go back, take the microphone, and declare that General Obasanjo will be the next president of the Republic of Nigeria that will lead them to the next millennium, and he will become a father to many presidents on the continent of Africa. And immediately, I protested violently, and I said, I will not do it. And the Lord said, you are afraid. And I said, yes, you're right, I'm afraid. And he said, God, don't miss it. And he said, I have not given you the spirit of fear. And I said, okay, you win. So I told my armor bearer, Pastor Joseph, I said, I called him and I whispered, I said, go to Sheraton, check me out, meet me at the airport. And I said, tell that security man to keep the back door from the stage open. Tell the driver to start the car. Those of you from Nigeria understand what I'm saying. You don't do crazy things like that in Lagos, especially under a military rule. You don't do that. And there was an injunction on party politics in Nigeria at that time. And so that was a very risky thing to do. I mean, it didn't make sense. And sometimes God don't make sense. And if you are going to walk with God, you have to be used to controversy and you have to be very courageous. Because God will tell you things that men can apprehend and comprehend it. And when people hear your story, they will not understand. But you got to get to a place where you have strong relationship and intimacy with God, that you don't just deal with God based on the principles of the word, but you deal with God based on revelation. That is very important. It's higher than principle. Everybody can study the word and just teach the principles of God and it works for them. But revelation is another dimension altogether. And it will cost you something, you know. And so I told the people to stand. And I said to them, I want everybody to hold somebody's hands and nobody moves. And then most time in Africa, the security come and sit in the congregation. You know, so they record everything you are saying. And I said, nobody moves. And I said, don't allow anybody to leave because your miracle is in their hands. Hold that hand. So I said that, say yes, Elohim. General Obasanjo Olusegun shall be the next president of Nigeria. The whole place was very quiet. And Honorable Femi Fanikayode, one of my sons, who is now the aviation, Federal Aviation Minister of Nigeria, said to me, Papa, that is very dangerous. I mean, you can do that, and with the Yoruba tribe don't like the man, so there's no way he can become president of Nigeria. His own people are not with him. I said, you sort that out with God. That's none of my business. I just said what I heard. And a lot of my friends sent me an email and said, you'll never preach in Nigeria again because this prophecy is not from God. And I told them, Paul, Ade Francis, and others, I said, go to Ota, get close to the man. He will become president of Nigeria. And I told Femi, I said, get out of Ghana, go spend some time with the man. To cut a long story short, the rest is history. I told you all this to say something, that when I talk about prophetic intercession, it's not just praying according to just the literal word, but God is seeking for men and women who will be sensitive enough to be able to link and to connect with heaven. to know the verdicts of the courts of heaven concerning families, communities, individuals, cities, nations, continents, and specific regions of the planet, to begin to enforce and download and pray through the decisions and the verdicts of the courts of eternity to bring it down to the earth realm. Those type and kinds of prayers are not just the literal word where you just read the Bible and you begin to pray what the Bible is saying. That's another dimension of prayer. But praying prophetically and interceding according to divine inspiration is something that is so needed in the times and days we live in, because we are dealing with so much demonic activities that just praying with sense, knowledge, and logic gives the enemy too much advantage over the church. We have to begin to come to a place where we begin to tap into divine intelligence. Somebody say divine intelligence. I was praying for this individual, like I said the other day, in Ghana, and he had had a particular illness for about 20 years, been to the best hospitals here in Harley Street, so many places, and nothing seems to be working out. So they brought him to my office, very wealthy guy, and they said, Papa, we need you to pray for him. And I have learned by experience to tap and to depend on inspiration. So as I began to pray in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit led me to pray in a particular direction. So I said, I command lightnings and thunders to the source of this illness. And then I said, I see a particular area in the city of Accra. And I said, who in your family lives in that area? Because I see a lightning and a thunder striking a lady in this particular area of Accra. And he said, it's my elder sister. That is where she lives. And then I understood what we were dealing with. So I said, tell me about her. And to cut a long story short, she had cast a spell on him and she operated a spirit of witchcraft. And the spell was time sensitive to take him out at a particular time of his life. And he can be in a meeting. I mean, a big guy can be in a meeting with people doing business and suddenly he's knocked off. He loses his breath and he's just knocked off. And they have to revive him, and many a times it's like he's dead. And the source of it was at a particular area in the city, which was her sister. And when I said, I send lightnings and thunders to strike the source. The other day when Joshua was dealing with the sun and the moon, it wasn't just the sun and the moon he was dealing with. He was fighting kings who served the moon god and the sun god. And they derived their powers from the sun and the moon. And Joshua said, I'm not going to touch you. I'm going to go past you. I'm going to the source of your power. And so when he suspended the activities of the moon and the sun, what he did was to go to the source of their power and disconnect the supply of power so that they were fighting without supernatural capabilities. And he said, let's remove the source of your power and let's see who has power than who. And those are dimensions of intercession the church has to come into, because we are dealing with very strong demonic powers in this end time that are determined to wipe out the church. A lot of the killings going on in your community here, it's not just killings of violence, it's all demonic, big time. There are spirits behind it. I was teaching the other day, Easter Sunday and Easter Friday at John Francis Church, and I was telling them that anytime you're dealing with the spirit of anger, you got to know what it moves with. The spirit of anger operates with violence and then it leads to murder. So if you are going to attack the spirit of murder, the spirit of anger, you have to remember that it goes with violence and then violence leads to murder. And the ultimate purpose of anger is the murder. But it begins with violence. It begins with anger, then it leads to violence and then it leads to murder. If you're dealing with jealousy, it moves with so many other things. You're not just dealing with jealousy. It goes with suspicion, mistrust, misrepresentation, slander, vindictiveness, isolation, self-elimination. You got to know how these things work to be able to pray effectively and intelligently by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Now, the Bible says in the book of Job, the 32nd verse, the chapter and the 8th verse, the Bible said, Job 32 and 8, he said, for there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of Elohim giveth him understanding. When the inspiration of God takes hold of your spirit man. It gives the spirit man that is inside of you. Because man is tripartite. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. So you are not flesh and blood. I am not what you are seeing. This is not me. The real me is the man inside. Hallelujah, somebody. I said the real me is the man inside. So you will miss it if you look at me from the natural perspective. Jesus said the other day, who do men say that I, the son of man, am? And that was talking about his humanity when he said the son of man. And everybody saw him from the perspective of the son of man, dealing with his humanity. But nobody had the capability to know his divinity and said, who do men say that I, the son of man, am? And they said, some say you are Elijah, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, one of the prophets risen from the dead. Then said Jesus, that you that are with me, who do you say that I am? And everybody was confused. They just knew him by who he was naturally. And he said, who am I? How do you define me? Then Peter tapped into divine intelligence. And he said, thou art not just the son of man, for that is your humanity, but thou art the Christ, the anointed one. Thou art the son of the living God. Jesus said, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Then he said, now your name is going to be changed from one that is unstable to one that is a rock. Stable, you shall be called Peter and no more Simon. And then he said, furthermore, unto you will I give the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Keys, plural. And keys stands for revelation and spiritual activities. Unto you will I give the keys. Give me a little bass. Somebody turn me down. Don't touch me. Take me back to where I was. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. You're a good man. Give him a clap offering. Hallelujah. He said, unto thee will I give the keys. Say keys. And keys stands for revelation. He didn't say unto all the apostles. He said, Peter, to you I will give keys. To the kingdom of heaven. That means there are many gates in heaven. And there are doors in heaven. And in order for you to enter the bank of heaven, you need a key. To get into the treasure house of heaven, you need a key. I have prayed for people who had certain parts of their body damaged to a point of no repair. And I have prayed and seen supernaturally God restoring and giving them new body parts. And those new body parts is in the storehouse up there. And you got to be able to move by inspiration where the Spirit of God begins to deploy and to bring things to change and to replace things in people's body. And these things, they work and they happen. You don't have to be some special person. You just have to understand. You must be in that frame of mind, consciousness of knowing and understanding. Jesus said something the other day. He said, I see my Father work and I work. What does that mean? I'm not here to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. That means God has a daily agenda for humanity, for the planet, for regions, for nations. And Jesus said, every morning I spend time in the throne room. Even though I'm in the earth realm, I spend time to stay in touch with the throne room so I can buy into the mind of God and to download divine intelligence to know exactly where to go and what to do and what not to do. So as heaven decides, I execute on earth the will and the desires of heaven in the earth realm. That's another dimension of intercession. So I'm not praying according to the circumstances I find myself in. I'm praying according to divine intelligence, going behind the scene to locate what is responsible for what is going on in the natural. Because everything in the natural, good and bad and ugly, is a result of what controls it behind the scenes. And if the church is going to become relevant in this 21st century, if the church will have a voice, God is not calling us to just build churches. Please, let's get it right. This is not about having 50,000, 100,000 people church and think you have arrived. If the enemy knows if he gives you 100,000 people church in this city, you'll be satisfied. When there are 12 million people population and they are not being rich, he'll give you 100,000. The devil also can give you a success. He said, Jesus, the glory and the riches which thou seest was given unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. If you will bow means compromise your conviction, compromise your mission. And he said, to whomsoever I will, I give it. So the devil also gives riches. He also gives glory. So not all riches and not all glory is from God. That's what the Bible says, for thou shalt meditate upon the word day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous and have good success. So if there is good success, there is bad success. Somebody say, talk to me. There is a spirit in man. See, there's a spirit inside of me, inside of me. Inside of me, there's a spirit. And he said, for the inspiration of the Most High giveth him understanding. Understanding here helps you to understand. I was in the Virgin Islands 11 years ago preaching for Dr. Leo Collymore. And there was a particular hurricane coming by the name of Hurricane Lewis. It was to hit the island at a particular day. And the day before, I decided to leave town because I'm not called to that particular jurisdiction. And so I won't be held responsible for the souls in that area. I'm not called to reach the whole world. I'm called to reach a particular people. My assignment is not to everybody. Those I'm called to hear me, those I'm not called to don't like me, and it doesn't bother me at all because I'm not assigned to them. So if you don't like me, it's your cup of tea. That's none of my business. Those who hear me are those I'm called to. I'm not called to everybody. And so I decided to leave town. And the night before, the Lord said to me, he said, stay. So I told Dr. Collymore, I said, it looks like I will stay up to the weekend. And he said, but the flights will not leave town until days, and there's a lot of bad things that happen. I said, don't worry about it, I'll stay. The night before, the Lord asked me to stand on the terrace at the Sugar Bay Hotel at St. Thomas at the Virgin Islands. And he said, I want you to stretch your hands towards the waters, and I want you to speak to the wind and to the destruction coming. And the inspiration came upon me, and I felt a strong unction and anointing, and therefore I deployed divine authority and placed an injunction on the hurricane. And the hurricane was coming the next day, and then on CNN, the commentator said, this is very interesting. Something is happening here, ladies and gentlemen. It is losing its force. It is losing its force and power. It's dropping in force and power. And suddenly it shifted and was diverted to St. Martin and didn't come to St. Thomas. Now, the morning before then, I had told the church at early morning prayer meeting that the storms won't come. And Collymore said, these kinds of things, you have to be very careful. And I said, I know it. And we became friends forever. And my present secretary right now, Joan, was in St. Thomas working in the governor's office. When she saw that come to pass, she resigned her job to come and work for me. And when she came to work for me, I told her, I can't pay you. I don't have money. I'm just starting my ministry in America. So if you can endure, when money starts coming in, I'll pay you. She said, no problem. But there is something that causes us to be different from others and from the world. And when people begin to see the authority we walk in, and we can walk in that authority. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 8, he said, for what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou dost visit with him. Then the Bible said, for you have made him a little lower than Elohim, not angels, Elohim. And thou hast given him dominion over all the works of thy hands. So man was made to have dominion originally according to God's original intent, to have dominion over all the works of his hands. And that's why Joshua, who was not even born again, under the Old Testament, the Spirit was not in them. The Spirit came upon them. But in the New Testament, the Spirit is in us. It's upon us for power. It's with us for works. And it's within us for conviction and salvation. And these guys were not even born again. And Joshua had the audacity to speak to the moon and the sun, and they obeyed. And it wasn't only Joshua that did that. When the word of the Lord came about King Hezekiah that he would die, and he pleaded his case with God based on things he has done for God and offerings he has given to the house of God, he began to plead his case intelligently, having changed its decision. And the courts of heaven overruled the first decision and established a new decision and law and said, you will live 15 more years. And the prophet said to King Hezekiah, this will be the sign that what I said is from the Lord, that the sun will go back 10 degrees, which is equal to 15 minutes. I mean, these guys were so powerful, and they weren't born again. They weren't redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We need a paradigm shift. We need to stop thinking the way we think and begin to realize that we are new creation realities. The Bible said for the whole creation of God is in the state of travail, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Sons. The demon said the other day, Paul, we know he's a son. Jesus is a son. But you, where do you come from? You don't have the father's blood in your DNA. Somebody say, talk to me. I came this morning to provoke you to stop looking at yourself as an ordinary flesh and blood. You are more than flesh and blood. You have authority. You have power. You are a force to reckon with. And it's time for you to recognize who you are. Because what the devil is going to do is for you to focus on your weaknesses and your shortcomings. He's always going to make you remember. I was preaching the other day for Bishop Jakes, and I said something. I said, whenever Satan brings up your past, it's a prophetic indication that you are out of his reach. So he's bringing up your past to get your attention in order for him to exert on you. And Archbishop Idahoso of Blessed Memory said, when you give the devil attention, he will give you direction. So whenever the devil wants to direct your affairs, he tries to get hold of your attention. And he tries to get hold of your attention by bringing up your past and your weaknesses. But you got to stop looking at your weaknesses. For the Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible said, for he remembers that we are but flesh and blood. So if God chose you, irrespective of your shortcomings and your background, then you must know that God knows something you don't know. So stop dwelling on it. And begin to see the grace of God manifest in your life. Hallelujah. I was teaching the other day and I said, the only reason why we live and we walk in grace is because glory departed. When you are walking in glory, you don't need grace. Grace was a substitute of glory. Because man sinned and fell, glory was lifted. So we needed grace to cover us in the place of glory. But when you access glory, you don't need grace. And God expects us to move from faith to faith and from glory into glory. And I have come to understand that when you pray according to the inspiration of the Almighty, it makes your prayer powerful. It gives you, whenever I arrive here, I go through fast track. And then there are people on the same plane in a long queue. They are going to go through customs. They are going to go through immigration like me. But fast track gives me a quick, it expedites and allows me to come in quickly. And by the time they come in, I'm already gone. But hear me, even though they are going to go through the same immigration, it expedites the process for me. And I'm saying that even though prayer works, and every prayer works, you got to understand something. When you pray by revelation, and you pray by inspiration, and you pray by depending on the Holy Spirit to give you insight, to give you capability and divine enablement to pray, it causes your prayers to be expedited. Because you are not praying according to your will. You are not praying according to your mind. You are praying according to infusion. And I have dealt with situations over the years. And every now and then I've dealt with very, very difficult situations. And the only reason why I've succeeded, one of the reasons why some of my guys that I have dealt with who were drug addicts broke through and made it. And they went to so many other preachers that couldn't help them was because when the situations were brought to me, by God's grace, it was inspiration that gives us insight to know how to pray. And when we prayed by inspiration, the situation was immediately, the enemy had to comply because he knew immediately that we had insight and we knew what was happening. When the devil knows you are ignorant of a situation, he takes advantage over you. And one of the tricks of the enemy is to desensitize the sensitivity of the church to be able to disadvantage the church. Somebody say, talk to me. The other day, Elijah, the prophet, came on the scene and he said, for 3 years and 6 months, there shall be no rain according to my word. He didn't say according to the word of God or the word of an angel. He said, according to my word, I'm flesh and blood just like you. I have feelings like you do. And I say, no rain. 3 years, 6 months, according to my word, your excellency, have a good day. And call all your political analysts and all your cabinet members and parliament and senate, and you can sit on it and analyze it, comprehend it, digest it, do whatever you want to do until I change my word. There shall be no rain. And he left town. And 3 years, 6 months, there was no rain. Until he met God. And God said, now say to Ahab, I, Elohim, am sending rain to the earth. Now, if you look at the book of James carefully, the 5th chapter, the 17th and the 18th verse, the Bible records by the revelation of the Holy Ghost to James that the only reason why Elijah could say what he said and he stood was because he prayed according to inspiration. Now, if you look at the book of Kings, when he prayed and fire came from heaven, the last thing he said before fire was released from heaven, watch this. He said, Lord God, I'm thy servant, that all these may know that I have done everything I have done according to thy word. According to thy word. What was that word? That's stands to reason, ladies and gentlemen, that he bought into revelation from on high, that he was inspired. He had the decision of heaven because at that time it was raining. The prophets of Baal could also release rain. In Africa, farmers could go to the juju man when it's not raining. They do all kinds of things to get rain. They use lightnings and they use thunders and things. The devil also knows how to deploy the supernatural because he's a supernatural being. That's why the psychic, palm reader, astrologers could see into the heavens, planet, to begin to mention things. And it doesn't have to move you because we operate by the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, descending of spirit. They also have the counterfeit, familiar spirits, that is able to key into the realms of the spirit to give them information about our hearts. And that's why we have to be spirit-filled people. That's why we have to be led by the Spirit. That's why we just can't serve God with our head and our 5 senses. We have to know things by revelation. One of the reasons why the Jews had problems with Jesus was because Jesus was looking at things from a revelation perspective and they were dealing with people from a natural perspective. They condemned Jesus going to Zacchaeus' house because of who Zacchaeus was in the natural. And they were dealing with Zacchaeus based on where Zacchaeus was at that time. But Jesus was not looking at Zacchaeus for where he was. He was looking at the Zacchaeus who got converted and said that if I have taken anything from anybody unlawful, I'm willing to restore, and even 4 times. He saw that, but nobody saw what Jesus saw. They condemned him from going to a tax collector's house for eating and walking with people like Matthew. But Jesus wasn't looking at what Matthew was. He was looking at what Matthew became. So if you walk by revelation, you will see the future of people and the outcome of people's situation and who they'll become, not where they are now. But if you just walk by sense knowledge, you will deal with people by who they are right now and where they are now, and you will miss it in life. I was preaching about the sovereignty of God the other day, and I was talking about the situation of the harlot of Jericho, Rahab. And the Bible said, and Joshua said to the spies, go into the house of the harlot and bring me the woman in the harlot. He didn't say, bring me the harlot. He said, go into the house of the harlot. Joshua 6. He said, into the house of the harlot and bring me the woman, not the harlot. So in the harlot was a woman. Are you hearing me, somebody? And in the mesh is a gold. In all that people see and think about you, there is something beautiful and precious in the inside of you that nobody sees, that only God sees. And you got to understand that all the time she was sleeping around with men, she never had a baby. Because she didn't want to have a baby out of wedlock. She didn't want to produce a bastard. She never had a child. And one of the sons of Judah married that woman in the harlot. And that woman in the harlot produced Boaz. Boaz's mother is the woman in the harlot of Jericho. And Boaz gave birth to Obed. And Obed gave birth to Jesse. And Jesse gave birth to David. The woman in the harlot said, this is not me. I don't like what I'm doing. Circumstances, situation. Some transgenerational unresolved issues has made me to be what I am. But this is not what I truly am in the inside. I protest. I don't like this. And God doesn't look at the outworks, but the heart. And God said, baby, I got a plan for you. He said, men can look at you based on what you are on the outside, but I see your heart and I have a plan for you. Yeah. Hallelujah, somebody. Yeah. The woman in the harlot gave birth to a great man, Boaz, that every woman wants to marry. But if you want a Boaz, your mother-in-law is the woman in the harlot. And Boaz married Ruth. And Ruth was a Moabite. And came from an incest relationship, which God cursed and condemned. The Moabite came out of the loins of Lot. When Lot escaped from Sodom and Gomorrah, and the wife refused to follow the man's vision, but chose to look back and to disengage of the man's vision, God said, if she turns back, you can't. Because if you turn back, you become a pillar of salt also. So the man decided to choose his destiny than to choose her. And she became a pillar of salt. They lived in the caves, the husband and the two daughters. And the daughter said, there are no women, there are no men here. And if our father died, we will not be able to raise a seed to his name. So they gave him food, intoxicated him, gave him some strong wine, and went to bed with their father and produced two sons, Obed and Amos. And those two sons they produced were sons that came out of incest. And Ruth came out of one of those lines to marry Boaz, to produce Obed, Jesse, and Jesus. Jesus came out of the line of David. These are things that are decided in eternity before man came into place. And the devil will always try to discredit the purposes of God
But forever, oh Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God doesn't change his mind and his original intent because of what the devil is doing. God doesn't change his mind. What the original intents of God stands, irrespective of what happens in the natural. God doesn't change his plans. Because God knows the beginning from the end. So stop panicking. Look at somebody and say, stop panicking. When Jesus was on the way, going to the other side to heal the man that was possessed of legion, 6,000 devils, on his way to the land of the Gadareans, the devil deployed the sea. You see, that's what the church don't understand. That the enemy we are dealing with, because of the fall of man and the lack of revelation of man, has the ability to tap into man's rights and to make use of the rights of man over the elements. So the demons in the man perceived that the man's deliverance was coming through the sea and decided to employ the services of the sea and the wind to drown the boat that was bringing the deliverer to deliver the man, that let's kill the deliverer so he will never get to the shores to set him free. And Jesus was sleeping. He was sleeping because he knew the outcome of the journey. He knew the outcome of his assignment. That's why he said, it is impossible for a prophet to die outside the gates of Jerusalem. That my assignment is written of me in the volume of the books. I saw the scroll before I came in eternity. It was a judicial determination, and heaven is determined to make this come to pass. So I cannot die outside the gates of Jerusalem. Give up the ghost and to share my blood on the cross on the mountains of Moriah, just like Abraham did in his days. Somebody say, I refuse to die. Jesus rose up. Peter was a skillful fisherman. When he saw this storm and wind, he said, no, this one, it's not ordinary wind and storm. This is demonic. Have you been in a situation and you see a situation and you can tell that, somebody say, Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You can tell that this is demonic. I've been in such situations, many situations. And I just say to my guys, I'm not going to pray now. Give me a day or two. In some situation, I was dealing with a situation recently, and a gentleman called me for prayer. And I said, call me in 5 minutes. Let me position myself first in the throne room. And he called me by him. By the time he called me, I was under the inspiration. And when I begin to pray on the phone, immediately the powers that were responsible for the situation for weeks had to comply because the anointing was upon me. And the Bible says it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. It's not the preaching and the teaching. The teaching must be impregnated with anointing. Because if you teach and preach and people are still the same, then you don't have the yoke breaking anointing. Jesus rose from the dead and said, see, wind, where were you in the beginning when I ordered you to gather at one place and put a perpetual embargo that you have no right to trespass and you shall not enter the land? How dare you allow yourself to be deployed by the enemy to threaten my purpose and my destiny and mandate? Peace be still. That means comply. And there was a great calm and the sea obeyed. And the disciples said, what manner of man is this that even the sea and the wind complies at the command of his voice? Shagadahala gavadas. Unless the church begins to understand, praying by inspiration, our churches have been invaded by witches, by Maronites, women with strong marine spirits from under the sea have invaded the church, sing in our choirs, have access to authority, leadership, controls things, manipulates everything, and we are sitting down and we can't see. And the Bible says, eyes are there, but they see not. I was reading a scripture the other day in Cape Town in South Africa. And it blew my mind. He said, enlighten down my eyes, O Lord, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Elijah went to God and God said, I'm sending rain. And the Bible said, and Elijah prayed again, according to James 5, 17 and 18. He prayed again, and the heavens gave rain. But the Bible didn't tell us why he prayed and how he prayed. He said he prayed again. But the Old Testament tells us that he prayed seven times after being told by God rain was coming. But if you look at the book of James 5, 18, it didn't tell us what kind of prayer he prayed. But the Bible said he prayed again. Now, the book of 1 Kings 18:1 reveals that God told him he was sending rain. So he prayed according to prophetic direction. And when he went to the Mount of Carmel, he prayed seven times. And that was based on inspiration. It wasn't sense knowledge. There was no pattern like that in the Bible. Nobody have ever prayed that way for him to learn to pray after that manner. So it was inspiration. And at the seventh time, the servant said, I see a little cloud like the hand of a man. And God is going to use insignificant things in this end time to shake kingdoms and to show that he's God. God is going to take little things and little people to show that he's Elohim. Are you hearing me, somebody? Now, the Bible didn't say, I see the hand of an angel or the hand of a God. But he said, I see a little cloud as the hand of a man. He took the mouth of a man and the hand of a man to bring about change. God is depending on your mouth. And God wants your hands that he can heal through your mouth. He can make changes through your mouth. And he can heal through your hands. Say praying by inspiration. Say prophetic intercession. Prophetic intercession is when Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, what is God's will on in heaven about the earth? That means God has a plan. That means that God has legislated some things. That God has original intent for families, for people, for community, regions, cities, nations, churches. And what Jesus meant when he said, pray that thy will be done as it is in heaven, is that be able, buy into the mind of God, know what heaven has said, know the determination of heaven, know and understand heaven's decision about the situation, and then call from eternity into time what exists in eternity for time. That means be the transportation that transports from eternity into time. That when you know what God has said, you begin to pray it into the natural. Jesus saw a fig tree, and the fig tree had no fruit on it. But it seems like it had fruit. It deceived Jesus. Deception, big time in the church. And Jesus went to it and said, oh, you deceived me. I would have used my time to go somewhere else, but you misled me. And Jesus said, anyway, according to the original intent, you are supposed to bear fruit. So you have compromised the original plan for your life, and that means you forfeit your rights to exist. So henceforth, I take your rights to exist until further notice. Die. And he died from the root. That means whenever you compromise your reason for being, it doesn't matter who you are, you forfeit your rights to exist. Heaven only backs us when we are in touch with the original intent. Jesus said, Holy Father, I have done everything according to your will and according to your word. That means that I never prayed any prayer. I never did anything outside of what heaven has determined. Heaven has a determination. Heaven has a plan. And God is seeking for men and women who will be sensitized, sensitive enough to know what God is saying about situations and to begin to enforce it. We are the law enforcement agents of God on the earth. The laws don't enforce themselves. The word doesn't enforce itself. It takes the law enforcement agent. You can break the laws here, go to a traffic light, and the light is red, and you can break that law and just go. And the traffic light is not going to arrest you. It takes the police to call you to order. And we, as believers and as intercessors and as sons and daughters of God, are the law enforcement agents of God on the earth. And unless we enforce and command the enemy to comply, demons will go around and kill and steal and destroy and do as they please, and nobody can check them. And we got to stop being afraid of demons. Because you cannot command authority over that which you fear. You never overcome that which you fear. The only thing that gives you power over your fears is to confront it. I have had many fears over the years, and I became a slave of many things until I decided to confront my fears. And sometimes when you confront your fears, you will have all kinds of crises and situations. But as long as you have the upper hand over your fears, don't worry about the rest. God knows how to fix it. Tell somebody God will take care of that business. God is seeking for men and women like you and I that will intercede for our nations, that will intercede prophetically by revelation from on high. And it makes things so easy. It makes serving God, working for God so easy. It's powerful. Turn your Bibles with me, if you please, to the book of Job. 38 and 33. 38 and 33. Job 38 and 33. Are you there? Read. How's thou? Have you commanded the morning since thy days? Go ahead, read. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. The dominion thereof in the earth.
Mm-hmm. Again.
Job 38, verse 33. Mm-hmm. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven, mm-hmm. and can thou set the dominion thereof in the earth?
You see, I want you to look at me. That was a question, but loaded with revelation. So whenever you read the Bible, you got to understand that it has two meanings, the literal meaning and the celestial meaning. And that comes by revelation. He said, knowest thou the dominion, the ordinances of heaven, that you may set its dominion in the earth. It means that if you understand the ordinances, that means the decree, the agenda, the determinations of heaven, you can set its rule and dominion on the earth. That's why the Bible says that the heavens do rule in the affairs of men. And the Bible says, this is the decision of the watchers and the decree of the holy ones. That to the intent, men may know that the heavens or the Almighty rules in the affairs of men. So the earth is governed by the decisions of heaven. And God is seeking for men and women who has the ability to stay in touch with the throne. To stay in the throne room. To know what the throne room have determined and decided. And begin to download it into the earth realm. So you are not praying according to what is happening in the natural. But you are praying according to the mind of God behind the scenes. Somebody say, talk to me. If you know the ordinances of heaven, you can set dominion or rule over the earth. You can have rule. You can wield dominion in the earth realm. I've seen a lot of situations happen in countries and in nations and in my own country that I have had the audacity and I've gone to see the president. The one before, Jerry Rawlings, and the present president. Because when I pick things up and I know what God is saying, you can't intimidate me at all. There are times when the media has said things and I have come and countered it on television. And I said, what they have predicted will not stand, neither shall it come to pass as long as I'm here. And somebody will think that this is arrogance. It's not arrogance. It's not arrogance. Elijah said, 3 years, 6 months, no rain, according to my word. Then at the end of his prayers, he said that they might know that I have done all this according to what? Your word. That means that he had an inspiration from the Most High. God had told him what the plan was. So he said, you know what? I have a privilege to know some things you don't know. And so I'm telling you that for 3 years and 6 months, there will be no rain. Amen? Somebody say divine intelligence. Somebody say advanced knowledge. That is what happens when you have the privilege to know things that men don't know. And God is counting on men and women like you and I that will begin to pray according to divine intelligence. Look at 1 Timothy 1:18. He said, "This charge I give unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that came before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Say, "This charge." Talk to me. Say, "This command." He said, "I give you a command to do what? To intercede according to what? The prophecy." That is prophetic intercession. That means when a prophecy comes over you, you don't just sit down and fold your hand. You got to pray according to that prophetic mandate because it gives you advanced knowledge. That is what heaven intends. And it may not be written in the Bible, which is the Logos. But this is a rhema that gives you God's original intent of where you should have been right about now. So Paul is saying, don't just take it for granted that it's just anything. You got to begin to do business. Say, doing business in the heavenlies. Many years ago, there was a great church on this, not too far from here. I won't mention the name. Great church. Many, over 20 years ago, I used to preach there. Not too far from here. And an old man of God that I submitted, Dr. Samuel, I submitted, he was one of my fathers. And Dr. Samuel came to that church and I was there and he made a prophecy. And the prophecy was strong, it was heavy. And I love Dr. Samuel. I learned a lot of things from Dr. Samuel about his confidence and ability to walk with God. He went to somewhere in the Philippines and he was sleeping and a present came into the room, a shadow came in, a personality, and shook the bed he was sleeping on and literally moved the bed from where it was to another place in the room. And he saw the personality leaving and he said, no, in the name of Jesus, come back. And the personality came back and he said, move the bed back to where you moved it from. You see, let me tell you something. There are things that excites me and there are a lot of things that don't excite me. Because if we are saying we are really working with God, then there got to be some demonstration. And the personality, the bed began to shake. You know, I was still lying on the bed. And he moved the bed back to where it was originally. And he said, now you have permission to live in Jesus' name. And he gave a great prophecy to that church. And I was there that Sunday night. After the meeting, I told the pastor, I said, it's time to declare a corporate fast in this church. And begin to war with this word. Because this reveals God's original intent and plan for this house. It's not written in the Bible, but you have a revelation by the Holy Spirit of where God wants to take this church and what is going to happen with this house. And I said, if you don't start dealing with it right now, the enemy will throw everything at you and will kill this church. And he did. I won't go into everything else. So when I began to hear the crisis, the scandals, and everything, I didn't say anything. I just told the people, I said, whoever took over that church is also going to inherit that crisis because he himself has violated a divine protocol. And my brothers used to go to that church, and I told them, I said, I'm not, they tried to invite me, I said, I won't preach there because a divine protocol, you don't uncover the nakedness of your father, period. It's a divine principle. You can't do it. Because if you watch the case of Noah, it wasn't any of the righteousness of the sons of Noah that kept them from the flood. It was the stand of the old man. It was the father's righteousness that kept them. It was the old man who had a relationship with God. None of them did. And if it wasn't for the relationship with Noah, none of them would have existed to stay alive, to escape the flood, to even be there to see the nakedness of their father when he was drunk and naked himself. You don't despise the stone or the rock out of which you were hewn. There's a lot of principles broken in the church today, all in the name of self-righteousness and intellectualism, and sometimes you just look at people and you don't understand where the intellect is coming from because there is natural intellect and spiritual intellect. And some very interesting things happened to that church. And you know what? The thing that will surprise you is that the prophecy came to pass on one way. Yeah. Everything God said will happen, happened. But the particular church that was to birth it and to take a particular role in the move was removed when the things happened. The church was removed. And that's why I'm excited about Pastor Paul, because I like prayer meetings. I preach in places and I like preaching. I like making people happy, and I can preach so many things right now to make you happy and jump and clap for me, give me a good offering. But you know something? When the devil hits you big time, you will need more than those kind of preachings. I'm telling you. I like sometimes when I go to places and people don't know me, I just preach and motivate them, make them happy. Praise the Lord. But for a place like this, because of your hunger, I got to give you something stronger than just milk to let you know that you are not just what you think you are, that your prayers are powerful, that heaven is depending on you, that you are an ambassador on earth. And the Bible says, as he is, so are we. He's taking care of business for us there, and we take care of business here for him. And when the Bible says, what things over you bind shall be bound in heaven, and what things over you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, you don't get that meaning. It doesn't mean that you can go around just binding, losing things. No, 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 no. He said before you can bind, you must have keys. And the keys allows you to access realms in the heavens to know things that natural men don't know that must happen on the earth. And by keys, which is revelation, that gives you access to the throne room, you will know things that has been bound in heaven, and therefore you can also bind it on earth, and it will be sanctioned by heaven. You will know things that are already loose in heaven, and you will loose them on earth, and it shall be so.